Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay man or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling shy about being on the radio, you can email me at bonkaye@aol.com. And tonight we have our wonderful, wonderful guest and my dear friend, Suzette Hinton, on. Hi, Suzette.
Hi, Bonnie. How you doing?
I'm doing tired, as I told you. I'm not afraid to admit it. So if I sound tired to everybody, you'll know why. But, you know, it's ironic that last week we had our healing weekend here in Philadelphia. And, of course, it was a double-edged celebration because it also celebrated my birthday. So, you know, my birthdays are usually, you know, don't mean much of a change for me. But, boy, I'm really feeling beat after the last one. So I must really be getting a lot older fast. That's the only way I can
either
explain
that or
it.
Either that, you part mighty hard.
Not me. I'm not much of a partier. I never understood why somebody wanted beer instead of a root beer float. So, you know, that's my kind of a party, unfortunately. But it was a wonderful, wonderful gathering of women from all over the world, not just from this country. We had a wonderful woman from Australia, two wonderful women from the United Kingdom, one from Canada, and a whole bunch from all over the United States that all converged together to work on the healing process. And we were also very fortunate to have the group leader for my adult children of, you know, gay fathers there to give a workshop to explain how these marriages are affecting the children, which to me is just so sad. I mean, there's no other way to put it but sad that we don't realize what effect these marriages have on the children. And I know that, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, the children need support. And, you know, I feel bad for the moms because a lot of women did what they thought was right. You know, they stayed in a bad marriage, an unhappy marriage for the sake of the children. And I guess there's something to be said about that. You know, I'm not one who can say it, but, you know, I know the intent is good, that, you know, it's better to grow up in a broken family than no family. But I don't agree with that thinking. I just feel that, you know, it's better to grow up outside the broken family home because it brings so much pressure on the children. So I don't know if I have the right answer or the wrong answer. I just know what feels right for me. What do you say?
Well, you know, I kind of agree with Dr. Phil. He says it's better to be from a broken home than living in one. You know, and when I think back, even though my upbringing did not involve a gay straight marriage, it still had so many issues because of the dynamic that I think there was a point in time that I think I would have preferred that my parents not stay together because of it's just, you know, and for them, I'm glad that they did because they got back to happy after all of us went to college. I said, oh, Lord, did we drive our parents crazy? But, you know, they got to happy, and I'm glad that they did. But from my standpoint growing up in there, it was like there were times where I was kind of wished they would kind of go their separate ways or at least live in two separate houses because it was very difficult, very, very difficult. And the thing that my son said, and I think I said this last week too, Bonnie, when my ex and I were, we thought we were being calm. We thought, you know, that we were not causing him any discomfort, you know, and he was saying the walls were screaming. And I think for many of our kids, we think because mom and dad might be civil or we think, you know, oh, well, it's better for them. This is such a great father, whatever, whatever, whatever. The walls can still be screaming.
Exactly. And, you know, the children are so perceptive today. And,
yes, they are.
You know, in many cases when it comes to the straight gay marriages, they're well aware of it long before their mothers find out. And it just does such harm to them. You know, I'm listening to our speaker last week, and he's such a wonderful speaker, and I think I can coerce him into doing a radio show with me if I keep working at it for the next few weeks. But his opinion is so valuable for parents to hear. And you know what it is? I think it's just such a painful subject, because this is even worse than having a bad marriage, is seeing that your children are suffering from your bad marriage. And I think that, you know, with the husband, it's one thing, he's an adult and he can fend for himself. But with children, we're there to protect them and to love them and to make sure their lives go well. You know, they're part of us and who we are. And no mother wants to hear, well, now you guess what? Your children have problems because of your marriage. I mean, so many women really stayed in these marriages and suffered for a long period of time, really believing that this would be more, this would be better for their kids. They'll wait till they grow up before they get a divorce. But like you said, the walls scream even if you're not screaming. And some of the children who have brought up these issues, they don't even know how to have a relationship. You know, if they're just role modeling selves after what they see at home, then they're going to have a very skewed view in general of relationships. They're not going to know how to react, you know, because they don't see the right role modeling in the house. They don't. We had one of our members of our youth group. She was wonderful. And she was very frustrated. She said, you know, when I first went and had a relationship, I wasn't sure how I was supposed to do things. She said, you know, he wanted to hold me and kiss me. And I pushed him back because that's what I saw in my family. I didn't see that kind of loving, touching, you know, feely stuff, and I didn't grow up that way. And I think it does influence the way that we grow up based on the relationships we've seen between our parents. Do you feel that way?
I do, and I think there's an energy to things. I think there's an energy to things because there's so many cases of people who might have been separated at birth, or, you know, they were twins and one was raised by one person and one was raised by another. And then when they are reunited, they find out they wear their hair this similar way, or they, you know, they like their houses are decorated the same way. Their husbands have the same temperament. And I believe just like there's a regular genetics that affects us, that I think there's also a spiritual component as well. And I don't mean religion, but I mean the energy of things. And you can, by all appearances, your house can be as wonderful as the Brady Bunch. You know, you got Mom and Dad and Alice, and, you know, everybody's just kind of doing their thing. But there's an energy. Because you talk to people that maybe they might have said, you know, my mom and dad never had a cross word. But then they are having these violent outbursts with their own spouse. And they maybe when they find out later, oh, mom and dad didn't get along at all. You know, it's just that, you know, dad shut mom down. And she just decided to stop arguing. But she, in her heart and mind, she was angry. You know what I'm saying? And so you grow up thinking, well, why, where did this come from? I didn't see it in my household. But there's this thing of energy.
Exactly.
I believe it's an energy. And I think we are responsible to our children, because even if, like some people might say, well, their dad and I get along just fine, but they notice how he shudders when you touch him. They notice that you can't, they don't never see you laying your head on his shoulder. Or his feet in your lap. They notice that extra little side when they look at a guy a little bit longer. They notice that he seems to be awful friendly. You know, when mom's not home, Uncle so-and-so comes over all the time. You know, they notice when the laughter seems a little hokey, seems kind of weird. And it puts so much pressure on them because they don't know what they're fighting.
And
they don't know what they're fighting.
But then a lot of times they find out long before, and their mothers do, what the enemy there is. And that's just because kids today are so sophisticated as far as the computer is concerned. And their fathers are so irresponsible concerning how the computers, you know, are being used also. So,
so many of our
women will tell you that their kids knew ahead of them because they found gay porn, you know, on the computer, which is really sad. That, you know, they had to keep that secret from their mother. Then they feel torn. Should I tell her? If I tell her, the marriage will break up. You know, she seems happy now. So why do I have to ruin that for her? You know, so it becomes a big burden on our children, not knowing what to do. But it definitely does affect their relationships in life. Do you think it affected your son's relationship with his girlfriend?
You know, I don't know. I don't know, because one of the things that when he was little, when he was about, I'd say about three, and Lion King was really, really popular, I remember Dad and I had broken up the first time, and he said, Mama, what can I do so that when I'm a husband I don't lose my wife? He asked me that at that young age. And so when he became a middle schooler, people told me, oh, no, don't let him have a girlfriend. It'll mess him up. It'll mess up his grades. It'll mess up all these different things. But I knew in my heart that there was something in him that needed a connection, an intimate connection, and he wanted one with a girlfriend. So what I decided to do, instead of trying to tell him not to do it, knowing he would do it anyway, you know, he around school, he would still be have a girlfriend. You know, he would just keep it from me. But when kids decide they want to do something, they're going to do it. And so I decided, instead of forbidding him to be an ally and to teach him what I knew about women and how we think and what we need. And I think with him having a girlfriend that early and having girlfriends from that moment on, the only thing that I ever heard from them was, your son treated me better than anybody else ever treated me. And he was very affectionate with them. I never frowned on it. He was affectionate. He was not afraid to be affectionate. He's very comfortable. He wasn't afraid of intimacy. He wasn't afraid of his body. He wasn't afraid of anything. He wasn't afraid of girls, because we had an ongoing dialogue about sexuality and about feelings that was ongoing even when he was younger. When he had little questions, I would give him what I hoped were age-appropriate answers. So I think he was very, very comfortable around young ladies. None of them ever, you know, seemed uncomfortable. He never seemed uncomfortable. So if any part of it manifests, I don't think it has manifested in that way. I don't get the feeling at all.
Is he close with his dad?
I think there's still a work in progress. I don't think it's because his father's orientation. I think it's because his father did some things that really, really hurt him, that spoke more to his father's character. And it made it difficult for our son to trust him. And him being in the closet about his sexuality, I think, was only another symptom of the kind of deceptive lifestyle that his father had when it came to everything, when it came to money, when it came to everything. And there was, in his family, because of his upbringing, there were issues with the way his mother raised them that caused some character defects with his father, that caused him to really tell more lies than the truth in every area. So though, because of those things and his values being skewed, it caused some issues between him and our son. I don't know if, I really don't talk with him that much about his father. I think when he came of age to make his own decisions, I told both him and his dad, I said, whatever your relationship is, it's up to the two of you.
And I think that's the only way you can do it. You know, as I tell women, you know, it's really important, no matter how much it hurts you, to encourage children to be with their dads and have good relationships if possible. And only for the reason that, you know, children's self-esteem really depends on parental acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, and if a father rejects a child, the child doesn't think, oh, my father's a jerk. The child thinks, what did I do wrong that my father can't love me? And so it really does become a major self-esteem issue for a lot of kids who are rejected by parents for whatever the reason, but especially in view of the fact that there's so many complications that come, you know, come along with being a gay father and having children. And that's not to say in any sense of the way, I've met some excellent fathers who are gay fathers, who really love their children, who are there for them all the time. They're physically, financially, emotionally, you know, really on top of everything. They help their ex-wives. They realize that, you know, she didn't do anything wrong. It was just circumstances that brought them to this point. And I'm all for that, and I'll cheer that on, you know, no doubt. But some fathers, because now they always thought they were being kept a prisoner in a world that wasn't theirs, they take off, you know, to find their new lives. And the children are still looking for them. You know, they don't understand it, but, you know, they haven't explained the situation. It's really sad. You know, there's no easy answers to any of these problems. And especially the question that comes up the most of all when it comes to children is, should I tell my children or not? What are your opinions on that, Suzette?
Well, I don't know whether it's right or wrong. I believe I did the right thing for my son. During the time when his father told him when he was younger, I would say about four and a half, about his past lifestyle, and he told our son that he had been in that lifestyle, but God had delivered him, and he loved me, and he loved his son, and he wasn't doing that anymore. Okay. Fast forward to our son becoming middle school age, we were having a conversation. And I just kind of casually brought up about his dad's orientation, and my son reacted with complete surprise. It caught me off guard, complete surprise. And he got upset, and he said, let me go in here and talk to my dad. And I don't know what that conversation, but he was so upset. And we later talked, and I said, why were you upset? I said, your dad told you this when you were younger. He said, Mom, I had pushed it so far inside of me that I had convinced myself it was a dream, that it had not really happened. He said, now I'm seeing it wasn't a dream, that it really did happen. And then as he got older, it's interesting how whatever is unresolved in you, it seems like life keeps bringing you opportunities to get the lesson. Because then he started, in his getting older, he started being surrounded by kids who were struggling with their sexuality. You know, people in college that became good friends with him. And he said he found out a lot about how they felt and how they thought. And he said, you know what? He said, I learned a lot about them. And to this point now, he doesn't have a problem with it. As a matter of fact, some of his greatest mentors, he found out later on, had that orientation. So he's made his peace with the orientation. I think the issue that still continues to be burdensome with him and his father is that he's learning that whatever his father tells him is only partially true in other areas.
And I think that's a very big major factor, that the trust issue. And that's why I really am very supportive of women telling their children the truth. I believe you should be able to tell them as a couple with a mother and a father present, or if a father feels more comfortable doing it on his own, then fine, you know, pack up a lunch for them to go somewhere and do it. But I just can't believe that, you know, we have to all keep these secrets while the men are out there doing their thing, and that this is going to be healthy for a child. And what happens a lot of times, because we keep the truth from the children and don't want to tell them the truth, what happens is they kind of turn on us, the kids, thinking that we're responsible for breaking up a family, breaking up a home, because they haven't heard anything contrary to that.
What I did... I ask myself something that I feel like that most parents have to ask themselves, because timing is a factor. I read something and it rang true for me, for my son. It may not be true for others, but when he was going through puberty, you know, when he was going through that, after we had that little thing where he reacted so surprised and we had a talk, I didn't bring it up anymore. And the reason that I didn't bring it up anymore was not because I was ashamed of it. It was because if he's already going through hormonal changes, and for some kids it's very devastating, they start wondering, can I catch this? Does this mean that I'm going to be that way? And they can end up doing things that they normally would not do because they're trying to figure out who they are. I know of one guy that he was molested when he was younger by a man. And even though he felt, you know, not chose, but he was heterosexual, he said he did go through this thing in his mind where he started being a womanizer because he was trying to prove to himself that he was never going to catch whatever that was that made the man molest him. And so I think in wisdom, there's a time and a place to tell our kids, if my son was younger, which he was younger when we talked to him, we did tell him. But then something happened in his own thinking that he put it aside. He buried it so deeply that when I brought it up kind of casually, I mean, he was in shock. His reaction, just I was like, and so after that, I said, okay, I'm not going to push it. I'm going to wait till later and bring it back up later or even let life bring it up because he wasn't ready for it. And I didn't want his sexuality to be, his normal progression of sexuality to be affected because I was to the point, regardless of what he, whatever happened, if he found that he was gay, I was going to love him anyway. It wasn't a thing where he was going to risk being rejected by me. And I made it very clear to him as we would talk in general about people being different and orientations. I tried to use language that let him know that I was very welcoming.
Which I think is so important because, you know, the reality is from all my research, 20% of the children born from a mixed, you know, family of, you know, gay and straight, you have a 20% chance of having a gay child, which would go, you know, instead of a 10% chance, which would figure because, you know, one parent is gay and it is, you know, in my book, genetically, you know, imposed, predisposed, disposed, however you want to phrase it. So if it's genetically a carryover, it would be kind of strange not to have the possibility of being gay. But that's why I think that we as mothers really need to understand that fact that as unpleasant as it is, you may end up having a gay child. And I don't mean to say it's unpleasant because gay is unpleasant. I'm the greatest advocate for gay. But the point remains that when it happened to my daughter, it didn't make me very happy. And it's not because I'm prejudiced against gays. I just wanted my daughter to have the life that, you know, we'd always dreamt for her. But, of course, you know, that was a little selfish on my part, I'm sure. But, you know, what parent wants to think that their child's going to have to endure harder things, a harder life, you know, have less opportunities? You know, so many things that run through your mind. But, you know, acceptance of your own child is so different than accepting your gay husband. They're not tied in together. One is based on deceit. The other is based on loving a child. It has nothing to do with, you know, the two equations. But a lot of times women get them really mixed up. You know, when you're going through this, it's easy to say what they should feel. But the reality is that when you're living it, it's very hard not to be angry.
Yeah, and I think they start to parent their gay husband. It's almost like that nurture, whatever that they would have for a child that was coming out or whatever. It's almost like they kind of enter into this thing of, well, you know, he didn't know, and, well, you know, our relationship is bigger than sex, and, you know, we start kind of slipping into a denial instead of saying, wait a minute, you lied. it's a whole different responsibility, and it's not that you want to beat that person up, but you still have to be true to the devastation to your own person. You've got to live in that. There is nothing wrong with having your truth. You need to. In order to be true to yourself, you don't need to rush to trying to preserve him, rush to trying to prove that you don't, that you're not homophobic. No, this cat or this woman lied to you. You have a right to be disappointed. You have a right to be upset. You have a right to have a hissy fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they owe it to you to let you have that. If you could not have them, then doggone it, I'm going to have this.
That's crazy, right?
And then sure, I'll come around, but let me have this. Let me be disappointed. Let me have problems getting over it. Let me look at you cross-eyed for a minute. You know, let me have that.
I think one of the reasons, Suzanne, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, that I really feel that women need to tell their children the truth, is that when a child gets older and he finds out without you being the one to tell him or her, you know, the child believes that if you could lie to them about something this monumental, what else have you lied to them about?
That's a great point, Bonnie. That's a great point.
Yeah, because, I know that from the children telling me that. They say, you know, if my mother kept this from me, I don't know what else she's keeping from me. And for the mothers who won't tell their children because they think they're protecting them, then they're alienating them because the children think they're breaking up a marriage for no reason at all. Well, why are you getting split up? Well, you know, adults, it's adult things. No, it can't be just adult things. It has to be the truth.
Yeah. And I understand it, and I totally get it. I guess the thing about it is if the gay spouse is ready to come out, yes. But if you tell them the truth, they go in and ask mommy or go and ask daddy, and they say no, then that puts them in a very difficult situation as well.
I know.
So that's why, and in my case, my ex to this day, as far as I know, still hasn't admitted it. So it puts it in a very difficult situation because I know it's true. I didn't catch him, but I know it's true. I know it's true. And even his own family said to me later after we broke up, I won't say his own family, but a friend of the family said to me, well, we were surprised he was even interested in a woman. We thought that, okay, oh, good, whatever this was he was going through, okay, you know, God has delivered him, but we ain't going to say nothing about it, you know, because if he's in love and want to marry this woman, then thank the Lord, hallelujah. We're not going to do anything to disrupt this. And they knew all the time.
I know. It's very scary.
And you know, even to this day, you ask him, you know, he'll say, no, I am not that. And I don't know, I haven't talked to him lately, so I don't know if he's come out. But I know up until my last interaction with him, where, you know, we've had the discussion, I remember before I left, I told him point blank, I said, you're gay. He said, no, I'm not. I said, well, then we have a problem, because every fiber in my being says you are. I said, and I am not going to slip into denial about it again just because you tell me that you're not.
Exactly.
I've done my field work, you know. I've done my field work. I've talked to people who are gay. I've gone online. I've done the work. I know you have every sign. It's there. You want to call it down low, fine. I call it gay. So we have a problem.
Now I tell women they can change that terminology, because now that I've come up with my new terminology of non-straight, it makes things so much easier. Like now you don't have to decide, is he asexual, bisexual, confused sexual? You know, there's so many different ones, erectile, dysfunctional. You know, you can go down the whole alphabet. But now all it comes down to is one little thing. He's non-straight. Because before I was saying, well, he can't be, you know, bi, he has to be this, he has to be, no, no. He's just non-straight. That covers everything. Whether you're looking at it, whether you want it, whether you touch it, whether you did something at whatever, 13, 15, 22, it's just non-straight. And that's the way women have to think of it, and if they want a man who's non-straight and all the complications that comes with that, right?
Yeah, you. I would say read the small print.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you buy that product, baby doll?
Mm-hmm. And you can't always send it back that easily, right?
Honey, read the manufacturer's limited warranty.
Exactly. And they don't have return models in any of these. That's the problem. But last time you were on the show, Suzette, I asked you to pick a song that represents you. Did you do it?
Well, you know what? I didn't, but a little bit before the show started, I came up with one.
Okay, I want to know what it is.
It is, well, I know that you love Stevie Wonder.
I do.
And I love Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And I love myself some Bonnie K, because what helped me to get through what could have been a catalyst for a nervous breakdown because of your being so honest and because of what you posted, I finally felt like there was somebody who understood where I was. So I want to sing this to you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Any music to go along with it?
No, I'm just going to sing it a cappella, and I'm just going to sing the chorus.
Okay.
I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just call to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. That's it.
What about from my heart?
That was your part. That's your part.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was you. You fell right into it. I knew I could get you to sing.
Well, that's all right. You'll need to do that to get me to sing. Well, now I'll sing a few lines from my favorite Stevie Wonder song, if you'd like to hear it. But this is really it. Let's see if I can get the music up. Hold on 1 second.
I love it, Miss Bonnie Kay. Multi-talented.
Yes. Hardly, or I would have been on Broadway instead. And that's the way I really feel about it. That was going to be my dream, if only I had talent. That never worked out.
Oh, my goodness.
But I was hoping for it. I want to be like you, Suzette, like a real singer.
Aww.
But, you know, I guess you can't always have what you want, right?
Hey, but you know what? You can always sing and make yourself happy, girl.
You know, I really do that a lot. And, you know, the last week when we had our gathering, you know, I made it a combination of a party for my birthday. And, you know, every few months I have a glee club here in Philadelphia that I've been running for about 20 years.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful glee club. It's only for bad singers. So if good singers can go anywhere in life. Let's see if I can get this on. Hold on 1 second. Let's see. Whoop. Let me... see if you can hear this song. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. Do you know this?
For
once I can touch. Are you singing along with me? I can't reach
those notes.
Someone warm like you, who could make my dreams come true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me. Not like it's hurt me before.
Not like it hurt me before.
For once I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs. All right, that's enough of me singing. I'm even scaring myself. But in the vein of everybody having a theme song, and that's like my favorite Stevie song. It's always our welcoming song when I met new people. But I would like to play a song that a very dear member of our group, Ruth, had given me a copy of this song. And from an album that I was not familiar with, And it's from a group called Mercy Me. It's a Christian singing group. And this is like her favorite song. So I want to play it for her. I hope you're listening, Ruth. And I know that you like this kind of music too, Suzette, I think. So let's see, give it a try and see how it is.
Okay.
If I can get this to come on.
Yeah.
so much for sharing that song with us.
Because, yes,
you know,
thank you.
What do you like the message there?
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. It's a great song. I was sitting there thinking, I might have to learn that song.
I think you might.
Teach it to the people that I play the keyboard for on Sunday mornings.
I think it's a really good song when you're hurting and you need comfort. Well, of course, Ruth thought that, and that's why she got me the album. And I thought it's a beautiful song, and I want to thank my dear friend, my sister Debbie Thomas Brown in Florida, you know, who does the Straight Wives Awareness Show or Straight Spouse Awareness. And Debbie has a spot on our channel for Straight Wives. And of course, she was kind enough to download it for me. And she also really enjoyed the message that it gave. What do you get out of that message?
That whatever is going on in your life, you know, no matter how hard, how tough, that you are still alive. As long as you have breath in your body,
mm-hmm.
you are alive. You have survived it. You are still here. You are still here, and as long as you're still here, there's hope. And then there's someone out there that you can lean on. There is that comfort for those that believe in God. There is that comfort. There is, but the key to it is being honest. As long as we're in denial about where we are, all we're asking Him to do is fix a mess.
Right, and sometimes we just have to really work hard on fixing it ourselves, right?
Yeah, you know, He doesn't fix messes. He's truth. So if He's a God of truth, then even though it may be very hard, it may be very challenging to stand in truth and not slip in denial, but to see it for what it really is, if you step in truth, He'll be there to help.
And I think that's a beautiful message for people, you know, who need that kind of uplifting spiritual tie-in. So once again, the name of the song was The Hurt and the Healer by a group called Mercy Me. And they have a CD that's out. And, of course, you can see a lot of their videos as I watched on YouTube also. And I think that one thing I learned from our healing weekend last weekend is that everybody heals differently. And everybody has a different time frame. And I say that healing is such a long process because we have so much to heal from. You know, it's just not like being in a marriage to a gay man. It's like being in a marriage that wasn't, how much of that marriage was really true or how much of it was really based on perceptions that your husband was trying to create in the home. How much of it was your denial of accepting what you were saying and hoping that it wasn't true. And, you know, healing has to come, of course, from within, but I think that comes with forgiveness of yourself, not forgiving others blindly, but forgiving yourself for, you know, maybe staying too long, making wrong decisions when it came to this. But the problem really is also that there's no real guidebook on how to do this right. You know, each woman has to come to her own conclusion. You know, we had a woman on our chat room tonight, you know, who's going through some doubts, you know, because her husband's trying to be so nice to her now that she's found out all the secrets. And
of
she says,
course.
Well, he's still a good friend to me, and he's still so nice to me now. Well, yeah, he's trying to protect himself because you said that D word, not the one some women might think I'm going to say, but the divorce word. And, you know, once they hear that word, a lot of these men really panic, especially the ones who are looking to stay hidden inside of a marriage.
Yeah.
But I
and
think
that,
one
and
of
I
the
think
things...
I think it's key because a lot of times women get duped and think, oh, he's being nice to me. No, boo-boo. He being nice to protect himself. It's still not about you.
Isn't that the
truth? Still
not
about you.
I know. It's
you
about
know?
Him and protecting himself, you know, to take some of the fears away that, you won't keep thinking, well, maybe he's not gay. Maybe I misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was looking for the wrong things. Maybe I didn't see what I saw. You know, we want so much not to believe that this is the case and this is the situation. So we're willing to make all kinds of deals with ourselves not to have to deal with this.
Yeah, and when truth comes out, there's going to be either one or two responses. Either there will be change in that, okay, you found me out, you got to do what you got to do. Or I'm going to go underground. Doesn't mean I've changed. I'm just going, I'm biding my time. I'm giving you what I think it is you want. Just to bide my time, I'm going underground. So I'll be a little bit even more deceitful with it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and these guys
are
really great at doing that. You know, they're great pretenders. They're great performers. And I think that when you've been playing a role your whole life, you know, it's just like if you go to another country and people start speaking to you, let's say in Spanish, and let's say I know very minimal Spanish, but if I was there for 10 years and that's all people would speak to me, you better believe in 10 years I could speak Spanish. And the same thing with gay men who grow up in a straight family with straight rules and regulations, straight expectations. They watch how straight people walk. They watch how they talk. They watch how they be, you know, how they act in certain situations. And they're able to put on that act. You know, it becomes something they can do because they have the role models to follow with being straight. So if they want to put on an act, it's not that hard, right?
Yeah, and when we really think about it, we were their PR agent. We're their cover.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to let your cover just go. If you felt like you needed a cover in the first place and you decided to stay with this person and still do what you do, then, yeah, there's some fear in letting that cover go. There's fear
in it. And usually when they do have to let you go because you're not backing down, it's not really that much of a problem for them because they're out there looking for their next date. They're going to find another woman to marry them and another.
That's right.
A very sad lesson, you know, I learned last week. You know, I'm still trying to deprogram from last weekend's the healing session. There were so many interesting stories and so many wonderful women. And so, I mean, even though all of our stories were so different, you know, the emotional impact was all the same. But, like, this one woman who she's adorable and I love her. You know, and she's been to a number of my meetings. But, you know, she's divorced from her gay husband who... She had a very Christian family, grew up in a very Christian home. She created a very Christian home for her kids. And, you know, he was out there doing his thing. And as a result of that, he has HIV. And now he's advertising on Christian Mingle.
Oh.
And some poor unsuspecting woman is going to hook up with him because he's very charming and nice looking and he's Christian, and he says all the right Christian things. Because, you know, when you come from a Christian home, you know, if you don't have sex before you get married, that's okay. You know, that's encouraged. So a lot of naive Christian women who are still out there, even in this day and age, it certainly is the truth, some unlucky, unsuspecting Christian woman is going to get this man as a next husband or he'll have another wife.
Man, that's sad.
Isn't it?
That's a low-down, dirty shame.
I think it's so horrible. So I like to warn women all the time that, you know, it's not just a matter of you getting a divorce. It's a matter of you relearning who you are, redefining what you want, because otherwise you can just keep making the same mistakes over and over. How about you, Suzette? Did you make any mistakes before you found your right man?
Oh, honey, I made so many of them. And what I was going to say, to co-sign on what you were saying, Bonnie, was, for those women out there who want to get married, beware of the man that wants to marry you really fast.
Uh-huh.
Beware, because when I think back, and I'm sure it's a common story, a lot of we straight wives married our men too fast. They were in a hurry. And I've learned with
count
time
me in on that one.
Maturity,
up to that. I'm the first to raise my hand for all of my downfalls. That's one of them.
Yeah,
I was
that's
married
what I
months after I met mine.
Yes, he proposed in about 3 months of dating, and we spent the next 6 to 8 months planning the wedding. I didn't know him from a hole in the ground. I did not know him.
He did much better than me. I knew him for 3 months and did get married.
Wow. Well, I tell you, one thing I've learned is, you know, if a person's rushing you to the altar, what's their hurry? They've got to have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
If they're rushing you, now that you have to ask yourself, why the hurry?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we rushing? Because so many people get married to people they do not know. They do
mm-hmm.
not know. And I even know, sure, my ex-gay husband put on a front, but he could not have kept the charade up for a long time. And maybe that's the reason why they rush it. It's like, I can't keep this. If I can't keep holding my breath to act like I'm sexually attracted to you, I can't keep
mm-hmm.
I can't keep doing this. I can't
well,
keep
doing
it.
Well, you know what I think another reason they do this to rush us in is because they're afraid that we're going to hear from other people. Like, you know, somebody said to me, oh, I can't believe he got married. And, of course, I said, why? And she just said, oh, she wouldn't tell me. She just said, oh, we just didn't think, our, you know, his friends, we didn't think he'd ever get married. Because they knew.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, indeed.
So I think that when you're rushing into a marriage, it's because you're trying to beat the deadline of anybody telling your upcoming wife that, you know, they're surprised she's getting married. And we just don't know these men good enough. But I think that, you know, we all do things for a reason when we need to do them. You know, I never like to come down on women for decisions they make when they're younger. I know I made a lot of poor decisions based on my own lack of self-esteem and wanting this need to be needed. So when somebody came along and he was good to me and he was good-looking and charismatic and charming, you know, I was flattered. And so, you know, we fall in love with an image of what we think we need in our lives without thinking with our heads instead of with our hearts.
Yeah.
And never realizing the consequences for later on. And I think this is a very major problem. You know, it's like one thing I learned over the years about domestic violence, because, you know, I certainly have women come to me with those issues. And people said, well, how could you, you know, he looks like such a psycho. How could you have known? I said, well, it's very easy. I mean, when a man first comes to date you, it's not like he picks you and says, brings you flowers and says, here, and then punches you in the face. You know,
no,
it doesn't start off like that, right?
That's right. It doesn't. And a lot of women get really seduced, because a lot of times the people who are abusive start out being, they say, oh, he just cares so much about me. Oh, and a lot of times they're very good gift givers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, my woman is not going to be wearing that. I want you to have the best. And they might take you shopping early, you
mm-hmm.
know, or you're having a conversation, and they might say, no, we're not going to talk about this. And you're thinking, oh, my goodness, he's being so thoughtful. Oh, he's caring about the relationship. He doesn't want it to go this way. And you're missing the signs. He's already directing things, you know. And I'm not saying every man is that way, but a lot of women say, you know, oh, and he would say, oh, you know, he was wondering when a guy looked at me and everything, he would look at him like, this is my woman. See, he cares that much. He don't want these guys googling me like I'm a piece of meat. Oh, he really cares about me.
Uh-huh.
You know, all the signs, you know, are there. Well, why didn't you call me? I called you. You didn't call me right back. Well, honey, I was busy. What were you busy doing? I mean, why come you couldn't call me back? I mean, and it's like, oh, you know, he just gets concerned. Oh, he's just so crazy about me. That just means he's so crazy about me. And those are little signs that we fantasize. We enter into this magical thinking zone because we don't know. We don't know that there's something, this is a flag, watch this. Or we defer to their judgment on everything. It's like, wait a minute, how does he respond when you have an original thought? How does he respond when you want to change things and you say, well, I don't want to go there. I want to go here. How does he respond?
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times those are little flags that we miss.
I know. That's why I tell women, you know, you really have to rebirth yourself after these marriages because they do so much harm and detriment to you. And mm-hmm. I think that part of life and healing is growing as far as growing into somebody who is less codependent, less needy. You know, count on yourself more. Build up your own self-esteem. Go out and do some things that are fun. I mean, I feel like, you know, you just have to relive again, but you need to wait for a year to rebuild yourself. And
yes.
If you don't, then you're just going to be, you know, taken advantage of by other kinds of predators who are out there. Because there's just not gay predators, trust me. There's plenty of men who are sociopaths, narcissists, you know, all kinds of crazy kinds of men, emotionally, mentally. And that's why I wrote that book, Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men, is because
mm-hmm.
there are so many dysfunctional men. And that's not to say there's ever going to be a perfect man, but there are men who are much better choices than other
yes.
men. And you want to get somebody who has some kind of stability, some kind of work history, some kind of motivation, and someone who can treat you like you're the most important part of their lives. And if you settle for something less than that, then you're just giving it away again. You're giving away
yes.
your life. You're giving away your time. And you're
mm-hmm.
not getting the most out of life like you deserve, right?
Yes, and I think very, very key is looking for a man who is empathetic. I don't mean sympathetic because there's a difference. But
mm-hmm.
he's empathetic. He has the ability to hear how you feel, to
mm-hmm.
listen, not just to listen to give advice or to listen to problem solve. I have no problem with that being their go-to. But if you're going to spend any quality relationship with them, you need somebody that you can really show your soft underbelly. And know that it will be received. They care about how you feel. They care about what concerns you. They care.
Mm-hmm.
I just give an example. My boyfriend was here the other day, and I was talking to him about, you know, my living room floor, and it wasn't vacuumed the way that I wanted it to be by the person that was there to do it for me. And I was just kind of telling him about it. And I didn't expect him to do anything. While I was talking, he went right to the closet, got the vacuum cleaner out, because I was having issues with my neck and shoulders, so me doing
mm-hmm.
it myself was not would be injuring. And I was like, you know, and I would have normally gotten this out, and I would have vacuumed this thing up, and I would have done this. And right while I was talking, he went and got the vacuum cleaner out, and vacuum and let me follow him around and show him all the little places where all the little lint was. And, and so patient, so sweet. He said, "That's all right, I got you." He said, "I got you." Just so sweet.
Well,
and he had
wonderful.
Just come from work. He had just come from working all day. Came right,
right.
in and
that,
he said,
and that's
oh,
what you need to have. I was telling this to my sister tonight. You know, I said, every woman needs to have a man who's going to make her feel better about herself, not worse about herself.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you can't find that kind of man, then you have to stop looking at the man you're looking at. Because these
yes.
guys, some of them are so used to just having their way with whatever they want. And,
yes.
you know, they're not
yes.
trying to help you. Like, she was seeing someone who was complaining about something in her house. And I said, well, then let him fix it. Let him, you know, clean it up. If he doesn't like it, let him do something about it. Instead of criticizing
yeah.
you as passive aggressive kinds of behavior. Now, your boyfriend could have said to you, you know what, Suzette, you know, take a rest and then do what you have to do. Stop complaining. And there are men
yes.
who would do that. And those are the kind of men you need to get rid of, right?
Indeed, because we're going, let's see, January will make our third year. And in that third year, he has consistently shown up as a caring and a loving man. He has not
right.
wavered in that at all. He's never criticized me for how I feel. He's never told me I need to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. It's like if I just say, I'm not feeling good, baby, and we have our little code. If I say, my heart hurts, he knows that's the code to stop whatever you are doing and get here fast and in a hurry. And he always comes in, whatever my ailment is, he comes in with so much of it.
Aw, isn't that great? That's a man who you can truly love. And that's what every woman deserves. You know, our women think that they're not worthy of this, deserving of it, and they can't find it, but they're wrong. It's just they've been beaten down for so long that they lose who they are. And now they have to find themselves all over again, which brings, as we're wrapping up, I would like to say that Suzette is a personal coach. She can really help you put your life back in track if you're having doubts about life, relationships, yourself, how to learn how to rebuild your life, how to become assertive without being aggressive, how to know what to say when you want it without having to feel funny about saying it. You know, as women, we're so timid about these things, and then we always make those same mistakes. So having a life coach can really guide you in the right direction. And if you want to get to Suzette, you know, it's too long for us to give you all of her information. Just go to gayhusbands.com and click into her link on the right-hand side of my page, and you'll see Suzette Hinton there, and you can find her. But or write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll send you a direct link to her. But having a coach can make a whole difference on how you see things and perceive them.
Yes, I think everyone, especially if they come out of something this harrowing, don't trust yourself to try to put your own self back together again. I think getting some knowledge from an unbiased person who is objective and can help bring clarity and help you to see yourself different and keep you from slipping back into denial, you know, I think it's key. I think it's necessary.
You're absolutely right, Suzette. If I had to go to a coach, or if I wanted to go to a coach, you'd be the one I'd be going to. So I strongly recommend you to everybody and anybody. You know, therapy is totally different than coaching. We've discussed this before. You know, your therapist is your cheerleader. I mean, your coach is your cheerleader, helping you on a regular basis make decisions that, like you said, Suzette, sometimes you're too close to it. You can't even see it.
Yeah,
you don't
we
even
can't.
See the problem, right?
We can't see it. We can't. We think we think that just because we're out of it physically, that's the hard part. The hard part is dealing with yourself after it's over with.
Exactly.
That's the hard part. And you need some help. You need help.
So we're going to be ending our show. I did want to say just for a moment that in passing, although I'm not ready to talk about this at least till next week, but we are going to start to get ready for our March Healing Weekend in Houston. And, you know, hopefully women will once again converge from all over to get this experience. You know, it's the most validating experience. We had 33 women, so it was a lot of women. But the women just felt so good when it was over, because most women don't have the opportunity to speak to other women who have gay husbands. You know, it's not like you really want to discuss it in your neighborhood or with strangers. Even if they have a gay husband, how would you know, right? So this is an opportunity. It makes such a I mean, it's an amazing thing to see so many women together, all different sizes and shapes and colors and nationalities and countries, and all having, you know, different situations that are all the same in the end, because the emotional impact is just the same. So that's why these healing weekends are vital for women to get together, to meet others, form friendships, form support networks. And this is all the stuff that, you know, we can do through my Straight Wives Club network and bring you wonderful programs each week. Like Suzette is with me the first Sunday of every month. And because we were out last week, I have Dr. Brian Hooper coming up next week. Which are, have you ever listened to Dr. Hooper yet?
I haven't.
Yeah, he's really amazing. I'll send you a couple links for his show. He is really great. He's, you know, he's a pastoral, you know, therapist. He has his, you know, doctorate in that, and he's a wonderful counselor. And so, you know, and he's been so helpful to our women. And then also the week after that, I'm really excited because my friend Mike from Linked Investigations in California will be back on the show. And for those women who have to figure out how to do things and, you know, forensic, you know, accounting, all the things you need for getting a divorce, finding proof, Mike is always such a great guest to help us with that. So we look forward to all our upcoming speakers. And Suzette, next time you come, please have more songs to sing.
I will.
I want to hear the song that represents you, not the way you feel for me, the song that represents you the most.
Yes,
and we'll work on that for next time.
Yes.
All right, so let's say goodnight to all of our wonderful women who are listening all over the world. You know, just keep in touch. I have a lot of support for you. We have this radio show. We have our support chats. We have my monthly newsletter. We have our healing weekends. I have pain pals if you want one-on-one support. Don't hesitate to contact me. I'll be happy to help you with whatever you need. Suzette, you know I love you.
I love you.
And before we turn around, it'll be our time again.
I know. I'm looking forward to it.
Same here. So good night to everyone. And good night, Suzette. I love you.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Bonnie.
Good night, sweetie. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.